You know that we're living in a day when hurt, pain, and hardship are the norm, right? And we know that no one escapes this life without getting hurt. So before we get started, I want you to stand up for me. Stand up. And then if you are in the very back row, please scoot up and let's jump into this first three rows because I believe this message is for everyone in this room. And if someone joins your row, give them a high five. Give them a high five as they jump into your row. Come on, Pulse peeps, moving up. All right, go ahead and grab a seat. Here's something I know as we all jump into this row, as we all jump up. I am well acquainted with this message, and I'm well acquainted with a lot of the things going on in this student ministry. I'm privileged and yet have some of the burden because we have trust in this church family to know many of the stories that are taking place here. I know about the different health concerns going on in your families with parents and other loved ones. I know about the loss and the death that has been faced in the last couple of years. I know about the fights and the conflicts that happen at home. No family's perfect. All of us have experienced that. I know the challenges that you've been facing, especially over these last couple of years with classes and trying to pass those while we were doing those online classes and getting back in the swing of things. That was tough. It was stressful. I know about the juggling of extracurricular activities and the social pressures at school as you try to fit in and connect. Like you try to fit in, you try to be liked. Maybe you realize there's something that everyone else does, so you decide you're going to start trying to do it to fit in, and you only get made fun of or bullied for it more when you try to fit in. And just the social pressure of trying to connect with everyone. And in my own life, I have faced a lot of difficult challenges as well. Middle school was not easy for me. Middle school was not easy, friends. High school was difficult as I tried to juggle grades and sports and keep my GPA just high enough that I got to play, which I did not always do. I would swing in those moments of, okay, there's a break from doing sports for a minute. And then as well as really things heated up in my relationship with my mom, there was a lot of conflict during my teenage years. My senior year of high school, my grandpa passed away. He had a terminal brain disease that gave him 4 years to live, and I just watched him deteriorate as we tried to take care of him. And right now, I'm facing what might be one of the most stress-filled seasons of my entire life up to this moment. So it's not easy for me right now. It's actually really hard. How many of you feel that? I feel like things are just really hard. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, I'm stressed out. Okay, now, no. Now look to your other neighbor and then say it like you really feel it. Say it like you feel it. Bro, I am stressed out. You probably know this already. You probably know this, but did you know that stress can kill you? Studies have shown that stress is the number one taker of life compared to heart disease, addiction, and other health issues combined. It's said that stress is responsible for taking more lives than smoking, drinking, and not exercising combined. Now, when you're in school, I know they warn you about drugs and alcohol, but how often do we really talk about stress? There's another study. This is kind of a sidebar study, but it has shown that, and I've referenced it before, 6 out of 10 Christians see prayer to God as a central aspect of their faith. Now, that's Christians. Let me ask you, I need some feedback here. If we were to poll your entire school, which has a lot of different perspectives, a lot of different opinions, a lot of different religious backgrounds, what percentage of students do you think pray to God daily? 5%? 2%? Less than 5%? 5 to 7, yeah. We'll count them up. Yeah, as I was thinking about it, I thought maybe 5%, but maybe 2%. I don't know. We're kind of making this up as we go a little bit. But we realize that people don't pray. And what these statistics do, they seem like kind of different statistics, but they show us something. They show us that our stress levels are at an all-time high and our prayer lives are at an all-time low. How many of you spend some time on your smartphone each day? How many hours do you spend on your phone each day? 8 hours a day. 9 hours a day, 2 hours a day, 5 hours a day. Okay, so the average for students your age is somewhere between 9 and 10 hours a day. And some of you might be saying, not me, I don't do that, I'm less than that. I do a couple hours a day. And others of you right now are going, dang, call me out, why don't you, right? Like, I'm north of 10 hours per day. But I want you to imagine something for. Imagine how different our lives would look if our screen time was replaced with prayer time. If we spent even a fraction of the time that we spend on our phones with God, our lives would be completely different. And isn't it ironic that the thing that we use most of the time to cope with our stress is actually one of the things that causes us the most stress? We use this to try to escape stress, and this actually causes so much of it. Did you know that screen time is connected with anxiety, sleeping disorders, ADD, anger, and a host of other conditions? Here's the thing about our phones. The people we talk to on our phones frustrate us, right? We get upset with things that we see on social media, and we even get stressed out when our phones don't function the way that they're supposed to. Guys, last week I went to make a phone call and I went to load the phone part, and it took 2 minutes to load the phone. My phone didn't phone, and I was so frustrated because I just wanted to make a quick call. Somebody say, I'm stressed out. Stress, it's real. Now, as we're talking about this, the word stress isn't actually found in the Bible. That word isn't there, but there are plenty of scriptures that allude to and point to the reality of stress in our lives. So before we dive deeper, I want to do something here. The word is described as holy. This book, this Bible, is described as holy. That means set apart. There's nothing else like it. God's word is unique. And so we want to treat God's word holy and unique. In may seem like ancient times, but even in the United States, when we had chivalry and etiquette was really important. When someone would walk in a room, something you would do is you would take your hat off and you would stand up to greet the person coming in the room. Even if they were to meet you at like a table, you would stand up, you'd shake their hand, and then you'd sit down together. And the point of that is because standing up is the symbol of respect. You're saying, I respect you. I see your value. And it's worth me standing up and changing my posture to interact with you. And so we are going to read out of God's holy word. And I want to invite you to stand for the reading of God's word, that we would treat it as holy, as set apart, as significant, and worth changing our posture. Philippians 4, verse 6 says this, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, we're going to memorize a portion of this. It's Philippians 4, 6. I think we have a slide for it. And I want to encourage you to read it out loud with me. We're going to recite it together. We're going to say Philippians 4, 6, and then the passage. So if you'll recite that with me on 3, 1, 2, 3. Philippians 4, 6, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Notice that it doesn't say pray about some things. It doesn't say pray about major things. It says pray about everything. Over the next few moments, we're going to talk about this, a strategy for stress. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes, and pray with me? Jesus, I thank you for your word, which is holy. It is unlike anything else. You, God, have the words of life. I pray over the next few moments that you would speak to our hearts, that you would help us see the truth, that you would open us to responding to your word and what you have to say to us. We invite you here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, go ahead and take your seats. You might be asking me right now, Pastor Khalil, what does stress have to do with prayer? Believe it or not, we are not post-pandemic yet. The reason I say that is because there is an emotional epidemic that is impacting people that we cannot even see. You might be asking, Khalil, are you saying that we're going to have to wear our masks again? I'm not quite saying that right now. We don't have to put on any masks to face this epidemic. Why? Because with this epidemic, we have already all been wearing masks the entire time. All of us wear masks over our emotions to hide what's really going on in our hearts. The infection that I'm talking about is invisible. What that means is we can't see it. And it's intangible, which means we can't touch it with our hands. And yet somehow all of us feel it. And the infection I'm talking about is called stress. Stress is so destructive that it slowly kills its victims over time. And just like sin, it thrives in secret and it grows in secret. So we want to shed some light on stress because nobody ever wants to just openly admit that they are stressed out, that they're overwhelmed with life and the things that they're facing. No one ever wants to admit that they just can't handle it or admit that there's something going on there in their lives that no one knows about, no one sees, stuff that's causing stress in secret. But we all know that our stress isn't good, and we all want to be set free from it, don't we? So how do we fight an enemy of our souls that we can't see? How do we develop a strategy for stress? Let's first unpack what stress is. You might want to take notes because this will be really good to come back to. Stress is the feeling of being overwhelmed and unable to cope with mental or emotional pressure. Someone say pressure. I said that stress is like sin earlier, but stress actually is sin. Stress is an emotional sin, like worry and anxiety. How is stress a sin? Stress is a sin because it is one of the things that Jesus repeatedly tells us over and over again not to do. Matthew 6:25-33, I'm going to paraphrase it for you, but it says, "Do not worry about everyday life." Jesus says, "Can worry make you live longer?" No, Jesus knew that worry, stress, and anxiety actually make your life shorter. He's not surprised by modern day science. He knew all of that already. So what's he say? He says, no, it can't. So do not worry. We even read it earlier in Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. So when we worry, we are disobeying God because we are not trusting him in our circumstance. Anybody ever been so stressed out that you couldn't even like breathe? You had trouble getting air in and out of your lungs. It was almost overwhelming. Notice that stress is not actually physical pressure, but it does affect us physically. Stress is our body's response saying that it's time to pray. Anxiety is an alert that it is time for you to start praying. I told you that God created us. And the truth is that God created every single emotion that we have. So we should see that experience as an indicator that it's time for us to pray to him. I said that stress is a sin. And we want to eliminate sin from our lives because sin keeps us from God. In order to overcome sin, we don't just need medicine. We don't just need medications. We need prayer. Why? Because spiritual battles require spiritual weapons, and stress is a prayer killer. Stress could be considered a weapon of mass destruction that the enemy uses against us. Stress pressures us. It overwhelms us. And we've been talking about how we want to be reformed into the image of Christ, but stress actually deforms us. It pulls us away from God. It takes us away from his image. It takes us out of his presence. It's destructive, so destructive that it kills us. So we need something that is constructive, something that reforms us, something that's going to launch our faith, something that can launch us into a greater experience of God and his kingdom now. And he says that his kingdom is a kingdom of peace. So as we dive into this conversation, talking about a strategy for stress, I want you to write this down. The big idea, point number one, the greatest strategy for stress is prayer. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, do what? Pray about everything. Somebody say pray. The greatest antidote to your pain, the greatest healing for your heart, the greatest source of your strength, the greatest strategy for stress is prayer. Because this world is overwhelming, overbearing. Culture overloads us with conflicts and challenges and trials and all sorts of different difficulties. Because of all that we are facing, we need to look past our stress. It's like none of us look for it. None of us are out here like, I want to find stress. I'm seeking after stress. I want more stress in our life. And yet stress always seems to find us, doesn't it? Stress is not just invisible or intangible, but it's indiscriminate. What does that mean? It means that it does not discriminate. It's not racist. It's not prejudice. It doesn't choose people based on preference. Stress is not classist. It doesn't care how much money you have. It doesn't care who you are. It doesn't pick favorites, because stress loves to torment everyone. It'll knock on your door if you're old. It'll come in your room if you're young. It'll find you if you're rich. It'll look for you if you're poor. Everyone, no matter what season, what age, what stage of life, everyone is vulnerable to the pressures of stress. For example, how many of you really don't like test day at school? How many of you get stressed out facing a test? You know that you might go into that stressed out about the test, taking it, but your teachers are stressed out about giving it. Don't know if you knew that. Why? You're stressed because the test reveals whether or not you've been studying. But for your teacher, the test reveals how well they've been doing as a teacher. They are graded as a teacher based on how well you guys do in your tests. And so it doesn't matter which side of the problem you are on. All of us are facing stresses and pressures in our life. Some people stress out because they don't like their job. Other people stress out because they can't even find a job. One person might be stressing out over a relationship while someone else is stressing out over a breakup. One person might be stressing out because they just can't seem to lose weight while someone else is stressing out because they can't seem to stop gaining weight. Pressure, stress. And I have some pretty bad news I want to share with you. But it's really good for you to hear this and accept it right now. The truth is that you cannot escape stressful circumstances in your life. You can't escape it. You can't get away from stress. But though you can't escape it, you can certainly learn how to live and learn how to walk in it with power and a peace of mind that you never thought you could. How? I know I said you can't escape stress, but I also have some good news for you. Point number two, write this down. God wants to arrest your stress. What is a prison for? It contains something. It contains something that shouldn't be outside of those bars. God wants to arrest your stress. You might be saying, Pastor Khalil, how can you say that? Like, I've been in church for a while. I've read scriptures. I come to church. I've heard a lot of sermons. We've never had a sermon directly attacking stress. We've never talked about this topic before. In fact, you just said it's not even in the Bible. So how do I relate my faith and stress if those words are not even in the Bible? And it's a good question, because you're right. The word stress is not in the Bible. However, the Bible, scripture, speaks directly to this notion of stress. It speaks about stress. If you read the Psalms, you are going to read a bunch of songs and poetic lines about real range of emotion. It includes the good things. God, you are my helper. You are my refuge. You are my source of strength. But it also has other lines in there, like, my enemies surround me. Where are you, God? Everyone wants to kill me. Things along those lines. These are psalms written by a young man named David, most of them, and he was facing a lot of trials and hardships, and he went through a lot of stress. So this idea of stress is across the entire Bible, and we'll even talk about some people who experienced tremendous stress. But I said earlier, God is the creator of our emotions. And what I want us to understand about this is that God made all emotion. He made every emotion for a purpose. What that means is there are not good emotions. There are not bad emotions. Every emotion is made by God. He created joy. He created laughter. He made those feelings that you feel when you're waiting for a really exciting Christmas gift or a big surprise. He made those emotions you feel as you're in expectation, waiting to go to that concert that you got tickets to, that you've been looking forward to for a long time. But he also made those feelings you feel of worry, of anxiousness, and of fear. We're going to talk more about that in just a minute. There are words in the scripture that talk about these feelings, that describe them well. Psalm 4, verse 1 please answer my prayer. I was in terrible distress. That's extreme anxiety, extreme sorrow, extreme pain. But you set me free. Now, listen as I pray. Our greatest strategy for stress is prayer, but what is stress? Again, the feeling of being overwhelmed, unable to cope with mental or emotional pressure. Somebody say pressure. I feel pressure. I feel a lot of pressure on my life right now. My notes went to a weird spot, so I got to get back there. Here's what I want all of us to take away. I said it already, but I want to say it again. Stress is our body's response saying that it's time to pray. If God created these emotions, and he created these emotions of anxiousness and worry and anxiety, these emotions are telling us something. These emotions are indicators of what's happening deep in our soul. Emotions tell us the truth of what you believe most in the moment. Notice I didn't say emotions tell the truth, because our emotions lie to us all the time. But emotions reveal the truth of what you believe. And I'm about to say something that might make all of you think I'm a little crazy, but you should celebrate and rejoice in the moment that your stress response kicks in. What? Why would I say that? Well, because God says this in his scripture, or this is what it says in his word. I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. God has given you these triggers to help you know exactly when it is time to pray. When is the last time you saw that stress as God speaking to you saying, pray to me? What does it mean that in weakness we are strong? How does that even make sense? Well, one verse before that, God says this. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. The moment that you feel overwhelmed, the moment you sense pressure and feel like you cannot handle the circumstances going on around you, that is when you might be nearest to your breakthrough. Because this one thing right here, you are never stronger than you are in the moment that you acknowledge that you cannot do something. Because the moment that you finally admit your limitation, you're now free to invite God to step in and go beyond your limit. You invite God to go beyond your ability and your power to do something. You invite him to do something beyond what you could ever do on your own. When you are powerless, God is all powerful because God has no limit to his power. When we feel as if there's nothing else we can do, we need to reach out to the one who has power that begins at the end of our limitation. The truth is, guys, we can only do so much. You can only go so far. And prayer is when we invite God to go past our limits. I think it's crazy that when we reach the limit of our control, the moment we get to that spot where we're like, I don't have control of this situation anymore, we begin to speak lies over ourselves that are not true. And we begin to say things like, well, there's nothing else I can do. Man, I can't handle this circumstance. I can't handle this situation. I'm completely overwhelmed. I'm drowning in this situation. There's nothing else I can do. No, you can pray. You can pray. You can speak to the one who created eternity, the one who has power over the winds and the waves, the one who demons see and they cower before him because of his mighty power. And our logic seems to be, well, if there's nothing else that I can do, then there's nothing that anyone can do. And that's not true. So we go, I guess I'll just worry. I guess I'll just stress over this. I guess I'll just walk in fear. I'll continue on and I'll just live in anxiety. And all worry, stress, and anxiety do is allow your problems to prey on you. I'm just going to wallow. I'm just going to worry. I'm just going to walk in anxiety. That is not God's plan for your life. So we want to shift your perspective to this one thought. If it's big enough to worry about, It's big enough to pray about. Somebody say stress. Our greatest strategy for stress is prayer. God wants to arrest your stress. And number three, the greatest strategy for stress is prayer and praise. Let's read the rest of Philippians 4:6. It says this, tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Notice it didn't say thank him after you pray. It says offer thanks with the prayer and to thank God while we pray. In other words, when we pray, when you pray for God to do something, also give him praise as though he's already done it. When you give praise to God as though he's already done it, you are walking in faith. I like to say this all the time. I say, I want God to get as much of my thanksgiving as he does my supplication. The word supplication means to bring our needs to God. Supplication is to say, hey, here's what I need. Here's my problem. Here's my circumstance. Here's what's worrying me and bothering me. This is the stuff that is stressing me out. And when we come to God, we are invited to bring him all of our stress. We are invited to bring him all of our worry and all of our concern. But I also want to bring him all of my thanksgiving. And so when I pray, I say, God, I'm worried. I'm stressed about this. I'm overwhelmed. This circumstance it's got me worried. It's got me stressed out. I'm tired. God, this is my problem. God, this is my situation. Can you help me? Help me. Make a way through. And then I say, God, thank you. Thank you that you are already providing for me. Thank you that you're making a way. Thank you that you're meeting me exactly where I need it. Thank you that this circumstance is not bigger than you. Thank you that no obstacle can ever overcome you. Thank you that I'm always in your hand and always in your love. Thank you that you always take care of me. You always provide for me. And even when I do not see it, God, I know that you are working because you promise it in your word. Thank you. That's faith. Praise is the expectation that while you are talking to God about the problem, he is already working out the answer. John 16:23, truly, truly, I say to you, this is Jesus' words, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give to you. Do you see that promise? Have you grabbed a hold of that promise? Whatever you ask the Father in my name, Jesus says, he will give it to you. Because God loves to give good gifts. And if we keep reading in this passage, we realize something else. Point number four, the answer to our prayer is peace. Why? Because prayer brings us into God's presence. And God's presence brings peace. Now, I didn't grow up with a father in the household, grew up with a single mom, but I was blessed to have some really strong male figures at different points in my life. And so I know that there is something super reassuring about the presence of a strong father. When you're overwhelmed by something that you can't handle, there's so much peace that comes when you know that you have a father who is stronger than you and your problems just don't seem as big. When you know that you can come to your dad and he's going to help. He's going to fix it. He's wiser than you. He's stronger than you. He's experienced this before. Your problems just don't seem as big as they did before. How about this? How many of you have ever seen those movies? You ever seen those movies where a kid's getting bullied at school, right? There's that bully in the hallway, the bully in the classroom, and there's that scene where they're like running away from the bully. And eventually as they're running away, they end up running around a corner and right there stands their dad and the bully's come to a complete stop. And they just look at the presence of their dad towering over them. And all the dad has to do is look at them and say, mess with my kid one more time. And those kids spin around and they're gone. That is the power of the presence of a father. When your dad is strong enough to guard you, when your dad is strong enough to protect you, it brings peace to your heart. Because that kid that is running from those bullies, when he was isolated and on his own, he had no power. He was overwhelmed. There wasn't anything he could do. But when he rounded the corner and stood at the foot of his father, in the face of his bullies, peace. Peace. Things are going to be all right. You have a heavenly father who you can bring your problems into his presence. And all he has to do is look at them and speak. And he has authority over them. Philippians 4:7. This is what it says, continuing on in our verse. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Somebody say peace. Jesus said in John 14:27, I am leaving you with a gift. What gift, Jesus? Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift that the world cannot give. So, don't be troubled or afraid. Peace should always come as the response to our prayer. Worry, stress, anxiety, these are the root causes to fear, troubled hearts, troubled minds. And Jesus says, he says, there's a type of peace that those who don't believe in him have. And that peace is temporary. It doesn't have any weight to it. It's peace that's soft, that's fragile. It's peace that is brittle. You bend it and it snapped. But Jesus came to give us a different kind of peace. He came to give us an eternal peace, a peace that will bend, but it won't break. A peace that calms you in the face of hard times. A peace that the world didn't give and that the world cannot take away. A peace that surpasses all of our understanding. It's illogical. It doesn't make sense when you look at the significance of our circumstances. It defies the fullness of our regular senses, but it goes beyond that because it comes from the voice of God through the Holy Spirit telling you it's going to be all right. God telling you, I've got this. How amazing is it that God calls us his children and promises to be our heavenly Father? The assurance that if we will just run to him and stand behind him in his presence, he will fight for us. What happens when you know God says, I've got this, is you have a peace, calmness about you, even in the face of really significant storms. People might come up to you and say, why are you so calm? I don't understand how you handle this stress so well. And you might say, you don't even know the answer. You might go, you know what? I don't know how exactly, but I do know who. I know it looks bad, but I know it's going to be all right. How do you know it's going to be all right, Khalil? Because God's got this. As I go through some of the most stress-filled times of my entire life, right now, I'm with you in this. I'm not worried. I'm just walking through. It doesn't change what lies before me. It doesn't change that there are some things I have to continue to walk through in faith, but it does change my perspective. I'm not worried because there has never been a time when God has not been good. I'm not worried about the stresses in my life because I can bring them to a God who promises to be faithful. I can bring them to a God who is bigger than anything I could ever face. The winds and the waves have to listen to him. My circumstances do too. And the purpose of prayer, it isn't to receive answers. It's to receive peace. God will take your stress. He'll take your worry. He'll take your anxiety and he'll replace it with peace when you pray. Someone say peace. How do I know? Because in 1 Peter 5:7, essentially says this. It says, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. If it's on your mind, it's on God's heart. He wants to give you peace. He has his hands out. They're mighty and they're powerful. And he's saying, hand it to me. Will you give it to me? I've got this if you'll let it go. I've got this if you'll give it up. I've got this if you'll just let me take care of it. Why are you fighting it on your own? Why are you holding on? Why are you thinking you need to do this in your own power? No, bring your problem into my presence and I will give you peace. He wants to arrest your stress and exchange it for peace. Because when you pray, if you do it right, if you come to him with an honest and sincere heart, you may not understand your circumstance completely, but you'll no longer be overwhelmed by it. Peace is the answer to your prayer. And I think it's the best answer we could receive. So I said I've been going through one of the more stressful seasons for my life, but one of the things I know is that in those seasons, God is always growing us deeper. He's always shaping us. He's always drawing us more into his presence. And when we're in a circumstance and a situation that goes beyond our power, it's one of those moments when we have to be desperate enough to really come to him, because we realize we can't do it on our own. We realize how truly small we are, how truly powerless we are, and we give an opportunity to come back to God and let him be God. I'm not worried by my circumstance, and I'm certainly not defeated by it. Our world is facing global challenges right now, global conflicts. But God's not surprised by it, and he's certainly not overwhelmed by it. And I pray about it, so I have peace about it. How about the circumstances in your life? God's not surprised by it. He's not overwhelmed by it. Do you pray about it? Do you have peace about it? When you pray about it, you can say, I don't have the answer for it, but I have peace. I know it's all going to be all right. Are you facing hard things in your life right now? Are you stressed? Are you stressed because of the things that are happening in the lives of loved ones around you? Don't stress about it. Pray about it. Because with God, it's going to be all right. No matter how bad it might look right now. And one thing I've noticed is we've started to create and kind of believe a couple false ideas here. Some false theology, I call it. The idea that teaches us if we're saved by Jesus, if our faith is real, if we truly believe in him, then we can't be stressed. We shouldn't be stressed. So what's that do? It causes you to question the sincerity of your faith. God never promised that you weren't going to experience hard things. He just promised he was going to be with you in it. He promised that he was going to be over it. He walks with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Another thing we start to believe at times is if God was really in control, then he wouldn't let me feel this way. It's not true either. God didn't spare Jesus from hard things. But through them, he produces something in us. And I said, our emotions lie about what's true. You can't believe everything you feel. I said, they don't reveal the truth. They reveal what you believe in the moment. And your emotions are an indicator that it's time to pray. Every person in the Bible had to deal with some type of stress. It's a stressful book. Stress is the result of sin. The moment the fall took place in Genesis chapter 3, stress entered the world. Stress exists because of broken relationship with God. It exists as God draws us back into his perfect peace, but it's a product of our world right now. And at certain points, there was a young man like David. He was just like you, a teenager, working for a king, working for his boss, who didn't want to fire him. He wanted to fire him, but he didn't just want to do that. He didn't just want him to be gone. He actually wanted to kill him. That's King Saul. That's stress. David had to live on the run. He was anointed to be the future king. Saul was the king in that day, and Saul had it out against him. Saul sent armies after him. Imagine running away from armies. That's stress. The problems that David faced is where we get most of our Psalms. Mary, who was just like you, a teenager, not even graduated high school, finds herself pregnant without doing what was necessary to become pregnant. And now she has to raise a child. And it's not just any kid, it's God's kid. Let's talk about stress. You're going to be the mother of the Messiah. Raise him well. Jesus came to this earth. He faced rejection. He was spat on. He was abused. He was mocked. He was criticized and accused falsely. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, before his final day, he was in the garden praying to his heavenly Father, so full of stress that the Bible tells us that he literally was sweating blood. It's actually a medical thing. I forget the name of it, but you can be so stressed that your body, literally, your capillaries begin to break and you begin to sweat blood through your skin. That's what Jesus was facing. And as he faced that, he eventually was arrested for something he had never done. He was convicted unfairly. He was beaten beyond recognition, and he was killed for something that he didn't even do. That's stress. Jesus knows. But every one of those people had one thing in common. When they were stressed, they prayed. They were not afraid to say, I need help. They're heroes in the Bible, not because they were perfect, but because they were willing to admit things like, I cannot do it on my own. Stress is a chance to let God demonstrate that He is God. You might not be able to do anything about it, but there's nothing that He can't do. I want that to land home. So hear me as I close. It's okay to be saved. It's okay to love Jesus, know Scripture, come to church, to serve, to give, and still be stressed out. But it's not okay to stay there when you have prayer. We have and have been given by God the strategy for stress. And I just wish sometimes that we as Christians could be real. I love that earlier when we were talking about what we're afraid of, there were some real answers. I wish we'd just be real and admit that we don't have it all together, that we'd stop lying to ourselves and to others and acting like we don't have any issues. I wish we'd stop pretending. Because if we were honest and we could come with things and say, this is what I'm stressed about, this is what I'm worried about, we could see God break in on it. We can pray about what stresses us out and we could see the miracles of God poured out in our lives. We are the people of the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our souls. We have the ability and the power to pray for each other and to invite God in and to see things change. And we pretend sometimes that everything's all right, that we've got it all together. And the problem with that is all of us can see through it. We're just lying to ourselves. But true peace comes with honest prayer. And it's when we get out of our heads and out of our way and into God's presence that we experience peace. So as we close, last thing, more prayer leads to less stress. More prayer, less stress. Don't worry, pray. Don't stress, pray. Don't be anxious, pray. Don't be afraid, pray. The opposite is true as well. Less prayer, more stress. I believe that if we prayed more, we would stress less. I think if we prayed more, we would see that God is more than enough. I'm going to say that one more time. If we prayed more, we would stress less. When I pray more, I stress less. Every time I pray, I walk through it. I vent, I process, I come and I bring it before God. And you know what happens? He changes my perspective. He always lifts a weight off if I'll stay in prayer with Him long enough. The more I worry, the less I seem to pray. And I can tell that our world is stressful because people don't pray. Here's what I want to do as we're wrapping up. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're here and you say, I want to worry less and I want to pray more, we're going to pray with you. We're going to have time to simply come to God with the things that stress us out because God wants to arrest your stress. God has given us a strategy for our stress and it's prayer. But before I do that, the one thing I know all of us need is we need a relationship with the Prince of Peace. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're going to jump right into this because there are some people in this room right now. There's maybe someone, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, but right now you feel overwhelmed, you feel worried, you feel anxious, you feel stressed, and you need us to pray with you. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, if you're here and you say, that's me. I need Jesus. I need the Prince of Peace. I need to give my life over to Him. I need to hand this to Him. Would you just slip up your hand right now? Say, I want a relationship with Jesus. I want to pray for you. See their hands. See your hands. So put your hands down. I also want to say something to people who have raised their hand before, and you're raising your hand again. No one else knows this, it's just you, me, and Jesus. But I want to say something this was put on my heart earlier today. If you have received Jesus, remember, the sincerity of your faith is not based on how well you perform. It's on how faithful Jesus is to you. He is always faithful to you. So I don't care if you've messed up. I don't care if you've fallen short. If you have at one point prayed to receive Jesus into your life, you still have Him. You still have His Holy Spirit with you. You don't need to do something right in order to get him back. You don't need to prove that you're worthy of his love. Would you believe right now that Jesus' perfect life and his death on the cross is enough? And that you receive all of righteousness because of what Jesus has done for you. Pray for salvation. Simply believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. So Jesus, right now, we want to pray and we just want to say, we confess that you are Lord. You are the Lord of stress and everything on this planet. And so God, would you be our God? Would you forgive us for living apart from you? And right now, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can know you, so that we can live with you and live for you from this day forward. Give peace to our hearts and peace to our minds. Give us the assurance that you are with us. And if you are for us, then nothing else can be against us. For everyone else, because I believe this message is for everyone in this room. Right now you feel in over your head. You feel anxious, worried, stressed out. Our leadership team is going to come to the front of the room. And we're going to just spread out because we believe in the power of prayer. And so we're going to stand here and we're going to play some worship music and we're going to lower the lights down and we're just going to create an opportunity for us to come and bring our problems into God's presence, because when we bring our problems into his presence gives us peace. We know that if we lift up our needs before a holy God, we know that he is meeting our needs. So leaders, come right now. And in a moment, I'm going to invite you to get out of your seat. What I want you to do is I want you to just think about what's stressing you out right now. Because here's the thing I know. Specific prayers get specific answers. Leaders are not here to judge you. They're not here to determine if your need is worthy of worrying about. No, we said if it's worth worrying about, it's worth praying about. We said if it's on your mind, it's on God's heart. And if it's on God's heart, then we want to pray. You do not have to stand in anything alone. So we're going to do that in just a moment. This is a time, not for a second sermon. They're not going to preach at you. They're not going to give you any answers, because we know that prayer isn't always for answers. Prayer is so that we have peace. And when they get done praying for you, we're going to turn the music up a little bit louder, and we're going to just fill this room with some sound so that you can pray out loud. And I want to invite you to kneel at the altar. The altar is a space where you can say, I am in God's presence. I'm bringing my stuff into God's presence so that I can have peace. Or to sit in your seat and to just talk to Jesus. This might be the first time you've talked to Jesus in a long time. Maybe the first time ever. But I'll tell you what, God wants to speak with you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to pray with you. He wants to meet you. He wants to speak to your circumstance right now.